Good morning. Today is January 31st, the end of the first month of this new year. Those listening online, we are about 2 degrees on our way up to, what are we supposed to get up to today?
14.
Up to 14. It is sunny outside. Got about maybe 8 inches of snow in the yard out here. But reflecting that beautiful sunlight. I want to talk this morning about what's in a name. We hear so much about names. We hear so much about, what's the right way to talk about God. As we were singing our praise and worship this morning, some of the songs we did, we started with "At Your Name," and then "How Your Name, His Name is Wonderful," and "How Majestic is Your Name," and "I Sing Praises to Your Name." Talking about what's in a name. On the front of the bulletin, there's a list of some of the names of God, and some of these I recognize right off, and some of them I don't. El Shaddai is the Almighty. Yahweh or Jehovah. Because nobody really knows how it's pronounced. Jews, when they would write it, never included any of the pronunciation marks. Which, if you ever look at Hebrew, you have the letters, but you also have pronunciation marks. That's the jot and tittle. Jesus said, Scripture says, not one jot or tittle will pass away. Those are pronunciation marks. But the Jews, the rabbis, the scholars, as they were transferring it over, would never include these because they didn't want anybody attempting to pronounce the name. Because the name was so sacred. In fact, they would just call it Hashem, the name. They would never call the name of the Lord. They would all say the name. Adonai, which means Lord. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness. Jehovah Shammah, the God who's there. Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of rest. Jehovah Shalom, God our peace. Jehovah Nisi, God our banner. Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. So many things we talk about God, and it's just an understanding of who God is. So I want to talk about what's in a name. We know in Isaiah, in the prophecy of Jesus, says his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Philippians 2, beginning with verse 9, also talking about Jesus, says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, or above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I've talked before about having grown up in a Pentecostal church, and their argument was that you had to be baptized according to Acts 2:38, because in Acts 2:38 it says be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas in Matthew 28, Jesus said to go into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the argument was always, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are titles, not names. There's one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to get into what is a name? What's in a name? Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Ecclesiastes 7 says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Both times it's Solomon talking in both of these books, but he's talking about the value of a good name. Again, what's in a name? In in Genesis after the flood, as the generations of Noah were repopulating the earth. You come across the young man by the name of Peleg. He's called Peleg because in his day the earth was divided. His name was used to mark something. In Genesis 17, starting with verse 1, says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly.' Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, 'As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations, and I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you.'" Abram means high father. So here you have a guy, 99 years old, his name means high father, who has no offspring. In fact, he tells God at one time, "What will you give me, seeing as how I have no heir, I have no sons, and the heir of my house is one of my servants?" He says, "What are you going to give me?" But he's called high father. And God says, "I'm changing your name because I have made you." You catch that? "I have made you the father of nations." At 99 years old, Isaac wasn't born yet. Ishmael was born, but God had already told him, "That's not who your heir is going to be. But I've made you the father of nations." And God declared it before it was. And changed his name from high father to father of multitudes, or father of nations. Changed his name because the name meant something. I don't know, those of you that are parents, this may be a kind of a more modern thing. I know we didn't do it with my son. When my first wife and I got married, her two daughters, which I later adopted, they were already named, but probably in the 80s into the 90s, you started seeing these books that would come out for new parents, and they were names and what the names all meant, because all these names had a meaning, and people would go in and try to find out what their name meant. Where'd it come from? What's the different languages? Because names mean something more than just the title, more than just a label you stick on something. Names are important. But when Proverbs 22:1 says a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, that can't have anything possible to do with the name our parents gave us if it's we're to choose a good name. So it's more than just this label we stick on something. It's part of who we are. Both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the words that are translated to mean to name in English mean character, honor, and authority. It's who we are. It's not just the label we stick on something. It's who we are at the core of our being. So God says here in Genesis 17 that I'm going to change your name from high father to the father of multitudes, because I have made you a father of multitudes. Before it even took place, God was demonstrating that he's making a change in people's lives based on their obedience to him. It says, Scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Genesis 32, a couple of generations later, beginning with verse 27, Jacob's in a wrestling match. Verse 27, "So he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed.'" Jacob, supplanter, heel catcher, trickster, was his name. When he was born, Esau was born first, but Scripture says that Jacob had grabbed Esau's heel on the way out. He heel catcher, trickster. And it was in his attitude, it was in his way of doing things. God says that's no longer going to be your name. Your name will be called Israel. Israel means he shall rule as God or Prince of God. Because you have struggled with God and men and have prevailed. And Jacob said to him, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen the face of God and my life is preserved. Peniel means face of God. The place where he laid his head on the way to see his uncle Laban and all of the turmoil that took place there. Where God said, where he saw the ladder. And he named the place, the name of that place, Bethel, which means house of God. These names have a meaning. The names have something deep and important in them. In Acts 19, beginning with verse 11. It says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowering them, and prevailed against them. So they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear of them fell on all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many whom had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. They came to one who was possessed and says, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. Name in both cases means character, honor, and authority. The difference is the sons of Sceva didn't have a relationship. Didn't know Jesus. They just knew Paul preached about him and great things happened. When Paul did it, they tried doing the same thing. And instead of calling upon, even though the word says it, instead of calling upon the name and authority, or the character and authority of Jesus Christ, whom they had a relationship with and knew, they were just calling out the label. You know, if magic words worked, we'd never have this passage in here. Scripture says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if we just call upon the label, if we just call upon, you know, the sign on the door without actually having the relationship, it does no good. What's in a name is more than what's over the door. It's what's more than the label we put on something. It's more than just what an appellation by which something is called. It's the English meaning of the word name, by the way. An appellation by which something is called. I don't remember which dictionary that came out of, but I do remember that. Always thought it was kind of interesting the way that was worded. It comes in having a relationship. Jesus says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in. So it's not in just calling out a name. It's not in just calling out and doing things a certain way. It has to do with our heart. It has to do with our lives being submitted to the Lord. It has to do with crying out. We've talked Wednesday night about some of the doctrines of the church and some of the things that are going on about in this world we're currently living in, this current day and age. And I don't know how many people have ever been to a big event with a well-known speaker. Deb and I were at a Joyce Meyer thing in Albany a couple of years ago, and we had Franklin Graham come to the the fairgrounds a couple of years ago and different things that have happened. And I always thought it was interesting how many, fill out the card and say, oh, we had this many people give their heart to the Lord. Okay. And even though there are churches involved for follow-up, just speaking a rote prayer, everyone repeat after me, and go through a sinner's prayer and think that's it. There are no magic words. Abracadabra, Shazam, and in the name of Jesus, if all they are is magic words, does us absolutely no good. Otherwise, we'd never know about the seven sons of Sceva. Because they had the right words. We exorcise you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preaches. But they had no relationship. They had no submission in their hearts. They had no desire to get to know who this Jesus was that made such an impact. It's not in saying magic words. It's having a relationship with the God of heaven who created us, who loved us, who's at work in our lives. What's in a name is the character, honor, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The character, honor, and authority of knowing who God is. Going back to the bulletin on the front. If we talk about Jehovah Tsidkenu, God our righteousness, and we don't trust God to be our righteousness, we trust on doing things our own way. What does knowing the name help? If we call upon Jehovah Shalom, God our peace, and don't submit our lives to Him and trust in His peace, what good does it do? If we call Him El Shaddai, the Almighty, and don't honor the fact that He is Almighty, He is sovereign in our hearts and in our lives, what good does it do to say the name? What good does it say to quote magic words? It does no good. Revelation 2, verse 17 says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. We talk about who we are. Solomon told us that a good name... Go back because there's two verses and they say roughly the same thing. A good name is to be chosen rather than rubies. A good name is better than precious ointment. A good name is wonderful. Do we walk out a life that shows that we've submitted our lives to God? Do we walk out a life that shows that God has changed us from the inside out, not just from the outside in? As I'm getting older, I find gray. A lot more as the days go by. We used to have a couple that attended service here, and the husband was fond of saying he didn't have any gray hair when he got married to that woman. Forget the fact that they were married 40 years, but he didn't have any gray hair when they got married. This is all her fault. God is changing me on the outside, but am I allowing Him to change me on the inside too? Does my life reflect that El Shaddai, the Almighty, is Lord of my life? Does my life reflect that Jehovah Tsidkenu is my righteousness? Does my life reflect that Jehovah Jireh is my provider? He's the one who takes care of me. Or am I doing everything on my own? What's in a name? Just having a title without an understanding is of no use. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we had been talking about Job and how at the end of, while the Bible study just concerned the first two chapters of Job, the book of Job ends with Job saying, Lord, before I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you. Before I just had a sort of kind of glimpse and understanding of who God was, now I deeply understand you. And I recognize that I am so messed up. Again, real New English translation. I don't remember the exact wording, but that's the heart of it. Job says, God, I'm so messed up and I need you so much. Please forgive me. And God blessed him. And God turned his circumstances and his situation around. We look at the book of Job and, you know, it's a picture of suffering, all the things that Job went through, having lost all of his riches and lost his children and just everything falling apart around him. And that wasn't enough. And then having the sores and the boils, so that he went out and he sat in a pile of ashes and scraped himself with a broken piece of pottery. And his friends came and they sat with him for 7 days without uttering a word. And then they started in, why don't you just confess to God what you did? Because this is obviously your fault. All of these things going on in Job's life. This picture of suffering, this picture of even the people that you care about turning against you. His wife saying, why don't you just curse God and die? And we go through and we look at that suffering. And at the end of it, Job says, oh Lord, you're wondrous. I was so messed up. Before of you, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. And I am undone. I need you so much. Isaiah, when he had the vision in Isaiah chapter 6, says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King of glory. That understanding of who God is, and it changed his life, changed his heart, changed his attitude. Changed everything about him because he recognized who God is. What's in a name? It can't just be a label. It can't just be a couple of letters strung together. It has to be a relationship. It has to be an understanding of who someone is. Revelation 19, last passage, beginning with verse 11. John, with his vision of heaven in the book of Revelation, says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. And he was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, or the Everlasting God, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We read in Philippians that God has given him a name above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God in heaven, to the glory of the Father. Here in Revelations, his name was called Faithful and True. His name was called the Word of God. And there was another name written that no one knew except him himself. There's more and more and more to who we are. There's more and more and more to who God is. There's more and more and more to our relationships than can be summarized in just a few letters strung together. What's in a name? It's the essence of who we are. It's the essence of who God has called us to be. It's the essence of who God is and wants to bring us in relationship with. We can't settle with just knowing a couple of letters strung together and say that's the end of the story. Otherwise, we're no different than the seven sons of Sceva. We find ourselves overwhelmed by our circumstances and have no relation to back up calling upon that name. But if we will seek the face of God, if we will draw near to Him, if we will search the Scriptures, if we will ask Him to teach us and ask Him to guide us, if we will pour our heart into the relationship, submit our lives into the relationship, and we get a true understanding of what it is to trust God, to what it is to rely upon God. If we find ourselves all alone, no one around, no help from any source, nothing seem to go right in our life. And yet, God comes through. We can talk about Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. If we find the world falling apart around us and turmoil on every side, and yet in the midst of it, we have a peace that passes understanding because God is keeping us, that no matter what happens, God has shown us that no matter what happens going on around us, He has us engraved in the palm of His hands. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never turn His back on us. He is always there and He is at work in the circumstances even when we don't make sense. Then when we call upon Jehovah Shalom, God our peace, it's based on a relationship of knowing that God is faithful every time. We don't know these things until we get to know who He is. We don't know these things until we begin studying, until we begin drawing close, until we begin saying, God, show me. We talk sometimes about, or you'll hear people say, don't ever pray for patience. Saw a thing the other day that says, God, please give me patience. Don't give me opportunities to be patient because we tried that and it doesn't work. Just give me patience. That's not how God does things. But He teaches us and He leads us and He draws us into the relationship and He draws us close that we might come to know His name. And say like Job, be heard of you before I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. And I recognize how insignificant I am, yet you love me, yet you care for me, yet you've shown yourself mighty on my behalf, yet you promised and bring me into a relationship with you. We know, we learn what's in a name by coming into the relationship. We know what's in a name by learning to trust God even when everything else is going crazy around us. We learn to trust God when we recognize He never ever fails. Amen. Father, we just come before you. We do thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us out of your word and that you show us who you are in the pages of Scripture, even as we just read in Revelation, that Jesus, His name is called the Word of God. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Lord, that your word is true and you've called us to seek your face in it. We're told about the Bereans who were more honorable because they searched the Scriptures to find out if these things were true. Going into that relationship, learning your word, drawing close to you. So Father, as we go throughout our lives, as we go throughout each and every day, Lord, let us not just rely upon a couple of letters strung together, but rather on the relationship that's described in those things. Just as you changed Abram's name from High Father to Father of Multitudes or Father of Nations. Just as you changed Jacob's name from Trickster and Supplanter, Heel Catcher, to Prince of God, or He Shall Rule as God. Just as you promised in Revelation to the church that him who overcome will receive a white stone and on that white stone a new name written that no one knows except he who receives it. Lord, that you call us individually. Call us individually in relationship. And in that relationship, Lord, we get to know who you are and we draw close to you. Lord, mold us and change us. Make us vessels fit for the Master's use. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.